So let's move on to the second portion of our special version of Study Hall here.
Certainly.
And Joe and I here are going to go through the issues and sort of discuss some of the hidden Easter eggs. And I know that there is a lot of things that you, or maybe not a lot, but there's certainly things that you like to sort of throw in the background that occasionally Crit and I will catch it. There are definitely instances where we don't. So let's try and find some of those. So starting with issue 7, and okay. you can sort of lead us through.
All right. Well, I mean, this is the first issue where we meet Abraham, who, you know, sort of becomes a pretty integral character or important character to the overall arc of the story. His likeness was based on a young Kevin Costner, which I don't think anybody knows.
I certainly didn't know that.
Yeah, so I mean, I took some liberties because I didn't want it to be too obvious, but that's who we kind of, I guess, cast in the role.
Why Kevin Costner?
Well, that was just the one idea that Nick threw out in the script, you know, and I thought it was really, you know, a good idea. Because a lot of times, like when I get a script and we get new characters, depending on the character, you know, there's no design because you know we do work with Rodin on this stuff. You know, he designed Nurse Nine; that's his design. But you know, a lot of the characters, like the main cast, you know, it's collaborative of he and I. You know, I know he started out drawing Jade a lot differently than I do, but you know, he sort of took some from me, and then like I take a lot from his Zoe design. But with Abraham, there was no design from Rodin, so you know, I just kind of had to come up with that one myself. So I kind of took that young Kevin Costner, you know, idea and ran with it. I remember Fandango, one of his early films, and that was one that I kind of looked at for reference. But as for reason, you know, just no real reason, just kind of, I think, especially on Nick's part, just maybe someone he sort of saw, you know, when he was writing the role, because I think that does kind of help when you're trying to, you know, put words to paper, is to think who would be saying these lines. So, yeah.
All right, that's honestly, I had never even like thought to think that before.
Yeah, we do that a lot. Actually, we kind of cast actors, and I don't really come around and say it just because it you know, for one thing, you don't ever really want to get sued, but it's more that they were inspired by these actors or actresses. Like Zoe, her appearance was really inspired by Jordana Brewster, who you know is an actress. I mean, I don't know if she's been anything major, but Nick and I are huge fans of late 90s horror, and one of them was The Faculty, and Jordana Brewster is one of the main characters in The Faculty. So that is basically, her right there is our Zoe, you know, in terms of the influence. And, you know, there's characters here and there, and then I'll get people that send me pictures, and I'm like, this guy looks just like Ike. Like, I think there was a character on Kardashians, not character. I say character because I think it's all scripted. But there's a dude on the Kardashians, because I don't watch this stuff. But there's a dude on the Kardashians that somebody sent me a picture. It's like, this guy is Ike, totally. And sure enough, I looked at, I can't remember his name, but it was like just dead on and blew me away.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I don't actually think they have names outside of Kardashians.
Kardashian 1, Kardashian 2. Yeah, yeah.
And I know we can probably even just mention it now. You had clued me in on this, and I totally forgot about it when we sat down to do the study hall. But the character introduced in issue number 12, Laura Hodge.
Yep.
She also has a celebrity lookalike.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you want me to reveal it now or when we get to 12?
Let's do it when we get to 12.
Okay.
I figured I'd just throw it out there while it was on my mind.
Yeah. We'll leave people in suspense.
So moving forward in the issue. We have a new character and a new setting, or
right.
We actually have two new settings because we have the issue opens in Mumbai, India.
Yeah,
Did you use any particular references for that, or were you just kind of going off?
You know, I remember, it's been a while, but I remember liking that film, Slumdog Millionaire. And I rented it again because, like, the way the world is built over there is a lot different than it is in America. Obviously, I mean, there's differences in, you know, economy and a lot of that takes into effect. But just the way buildings are designed and rooms are designed, like I said, Google was my friend, so that was a big help too. It was really hard to find specific reference images for India, so I kind of looked at pictures of like Afghanistan and buildings that had been part of war zones in the war on terror, just because Zoe basically lives in a rat hole at the beginning of the issue, so I wanted to kind of reflect that. And I mean, there's flies flying around. I felt, Nick was really, he's like, you got to draw the flies. Like, there's got to be flies everywhere. And I'm like, oh, okay, well. And then there's like, I think there's on page one in panel three, there's like two guys like passed out on the ground. And like one guy has like at least two flies buzzing around him. I mean, maybe he's dead. Who knows? I mean, it's not that I'm thinking that that's typical of that side of the world, but it's just one of those. A lot of this stuff that's not really in the script. There's no direction like dead guy on the floor or guy passed out. I mean, Nick will put stuff in there. It's like, yeah, there's people sitting in the hallway or something. But, there's still room for me to kind of add my own touches.
I don't know if you've ever, or maybe you, I think actually we talked about it on Twitter. Have you ever played the game Uncharted?
Yes. Yeah, I actually, somebody gave it to me from one of my store signings. I posted about it, like I was interested in playing it. And he's like, yeah, I finished this a while ago. You can have it. I'm like, well, yeah. So I just started playing it a couple months ago. I haven't played it in like weeks just because I've been so swamped. But
Of Uncharted, he travels the whole world. And in Uncharted 2, it's more apparent. But that's sort of what I was thinking. That and like, in Metal Gear Solid 4, in like the beginning of that game, where he's in a war zone and all the bombs or all the buildings are bombed out and things like that.
Yeah, definitely.
So this issue, is it fair to sort of call it the cheerleading issue?
Yeah,
that is a big aspect of the book.
Yeah. Like this one, like I told you earlier, we really get introduced into the cliques of Morning Glory Academy. I mean, we didn't really have much interaction with other students in the first arc, outside of just, I guess cannon fodder. But, this was nice to be able to, to draw cheerleaders. Cause I mean, nobody, I don't think dislikes drawing cheerleaders. That is an artist. just to be able to, do something a little different, I think, outside of the main cast, was really good. That said, there was some concern about how to portray these kids because, they are 16, and in Zoe's flashback, I think she's like 15. So we really didn't want to, make them too, explicit, I guess. I don't know. Overly sexy. Even though when I was in high school, every guy was fantasizing about the cheerleaders. And, so you can't deny, certain aspects of a cheerleader's look and how a guy is going to perceive that. So, cheerleaders, every cheerleader I knew, they really made sure that they looked hot. And so I wasn't going to just cover them head to toe in a cloth or anything. But I didn't want them, to be overly hot, I guess. But that said, there was an interesting, I guess, back and forth we had with one page early on. It was page 8, the panel 1 of Zoe kicking. Originally, that was a little bit more pulled back, and you could see Zoe's crotch. Cheerleaders do that all the time, and they you know, there's it's not panties, it's a bloomers, and that was, you know, I did my best to cover it, but I didn't want too much crotch. But, you know, Nick and I think even, you know, Jim Valentino raised some concerns that that just wasn't appropriate, especially for how young the characters were, even though, you know, that happens in high school all the time. So I had to kind of recrop that shot to cut out the shot of her crotch, basically, because there's kind of an unspoken thing in Morning Glories, which is, you know, no panty shots, because that's not the kind of book we do. I mean, that there are other publishers at the end of the previews catalog that kind of do those panty shots a lot better, and, you know, kind of have that market cornered. So we'll just concentrate on telling a good story, and they can have the panty shots.
So I know in a lot of situations you sometimes draw people you know into the book, and I'm always crossing my fingers that someday I'll open up an issue and find a bearded guy hanging out.
Well, incidentally, I actually think I might have just found the character for you, but that'll be later. I'll tell you about that later.
So with you know, this issue has other students. We are introduced to Amanda. With Zoe's flashback, we have her friends and the teacher. Are any of these people based on anyone you know, or any other movie stars or anything like that?
Not particularly. You know, Amanda was really kind of just an amalgamation of the girls I thought were hot in high school. You know, like I said, I had a fascination with a particular blonde in high school, and so she's a little bit based on her back then. And then, like, everybody else, not really. No real, you know, actor or personal likenesses. This was an issue. We started to kind of run into scheduling problems. So it was more like, I'll just draw, you know, teenagers as, you know, that as I see them. You know, like a lot of the teenagers that I see when I'm out, you know, they have the mop kind of hair, and it really kind of just Bieber hair, I guess. or, you know, it's like kind of buzzed, or like the guys, and you know, and the girls too, you know, like mature leaders, you know, they tend to have their hair pulled back or pulled to the side or something a certain way. So just, you know, it was more of like the generic teenager really was the likeness influence for, you know, the jocks and the cheerleaders.
And does that carries through for the whole issue? Because we also get Chad and Steve in this issue, who also appear later.
That's
the same idea.
Yeah. I mean, those were two guys too that, you know, one was definitely, you know, kind of more jockish looking, more based on kind of the stereotypical, you know, jock body type, and then I was like, I wanted kind of a contrast, so, you know, I had the Bieber hair, and just more of a kind of a sniveling kind of sidekick look to him. But yeah, you know, just sort of the typical teen look for those guys.
And where did the teacher in this issue come from?
Well, he was sort of based on George Clooney at first, I think, but then he just kind of...
I can actually see that, now that you point that out.
Yeah, he was sort of based on George Clooney, and then he just sort of went his own way. That's a story, the teacher and Zoe's friend, that was that was a scene that caused some grief. You know, they're on page 12, the scene where Zoe sees into the classroom and sees what's going on before she jumps in and hits him with the book and ends up cracking his skull or his neck. That I shot that, or I had that a completely different way. And I sent the layout to Nick, and he approved it. And I ended up drawing some other pages, and then when I finally got to that page, I drew it, and he approved it, and I moved back on to some other pages. He came back to me, he's like, I think we're going to need to change that panel. I'm like, are you kidding me? Because we were really falling behind schedule. And he's like, yeah, he was just really concerned that, you know, we would take some flack over it because it was a lot more explicit. Like, like the shot there on page 12, panel 5, where Zoe sees in the classroom and she, all you see is a hand holding another, or hand down. Originally, the shot was from over Zoe's shoulder. And you could see, you could really see what was going on. And I had the teacher with his pants around his ankles. And it really looked really bad, just for the implication of what was going on. I mean, I didn't show any like pornography, but right. I definitely showed pants around the ankles. And that worried Nick, and rightfully so. He was right to say, let's kind of rethink this shot. And I think it works better the way it came out. Instead, it was just kind of, you know, frustrating and kind of nerve-wracking to get it right in time so we could get to press. But yeah, that's the saga of the George Clooney-esque teacher.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's fair. That, honestly, that probably, I can imagine that just reading that initially was probably fairly nerve-wracking.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we move on here, and we've got our cheerleaders and in the football field, and the eventual revelation of Zoe burning the teacher. And it, you mentioned that you were a big fan of horror films, and this kind of reminded me of A Nightmare on Elm Street, with the way that they threw the teacher in the furnace.
Yeah, I think that was definitely an influence. You know, Nick and I are both horror fans. You know, I used to really be into it. And strangely enough, though, I really wasn't into the Nightmare on Elm Street series just because I really preferred more, I guess, realistic. I mean, even though that's kind of a hard thing to come by in horror films, more of like a... I was more of a Halloween, Friday the 13th fan, even though I realized those aren't really realistic either. But, like, just the whole idea of a guy that stalks your dreams, I was like, really? I don't know. But, you know, he is an iconic character. And I actually do like some of the films. And, you know, part of the nerd in me like actually likes Dream Warriors. but mostly because I like to be rocking with Dokken with that theme song, you know. that's good that you pointed that out. I'm surprised nobody caught that before with the Nightmare influence.
So the finale of this issue is Amanda sort of being chased through the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
That is obviously a huge horror thing. Like,
yeah, yeah.
It sort of got to the point where I was waiting for her to drop her keys in front of the door or something like that. But visually, from your side of things, it's absolutely incredibly cinematic. And how did you kind of come at these pages?
Well, you know, not to sound so like hoity-toity about it, but you know, that was the thing I went to college for, was I studied film. And I still use that training whenever I approach a panel. Like, I view it more as like a camera setup shot than necessarily a comic panel. What's great about horror movies and sequences like that is building tension. You know, you just slowly, you take the character slowly through the paces, or you really linger on something a lot longer than you normally would just to build tension. And I think that's what that scene of her walking through the catacombs does pretty well. And using a lot of, you know, like the widescreen panels for that, and the off, they call them Dutch angles, kind of the off-kilter angles. I think that really, you know, helps sequences like that, and that really makes them fun for me to draw, and I think, you know, a little bit more interesting visually to read.
So here's the kind of fun little thing that I'll just ask you about. You know, we're talking about horror tropes and cheerleaders being chased and things like that. And earlier we had discussed the Zoe crotch shot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And during Amanda's chase sequence, as she's running towards one of the doors that's slammed shut, there is that one.
There's a little bit of there's a little bit of panty there, but you know, that's, it's weird. It's like, that's kind of It sounds like such a double standard. But, I mean, it's a back shot. And, honestly, there is no way, you know, to convey motion to not have her skirt kind of blowing back a little bit, you know, and not do that. But the fact that it's just a little, it's sort of like, it's just a little bit outside. It's just a little bit there. I think that sort of helps us get away with it. It's not something I throw in liberally. Like, you know, I wouldn't, like, if this was, you know, well, like I said, if this was a book from a certain publisher or even sometimes, certain types of manga, like, there'd be panty shots all over the place. Like, I was watching this show while I was drawing a couple of days ago, and it was called High School of the Dead. It's an anime from Japan. And I counted, like, I lost count, actually, within the first 5 minutes, how many panties. Turning it off just because it was just way too blatant and distracting and took away from any kind of enjoyment in the story. So, but yeah, I like, you know, and one thing that holds true, like, anytime if there is, like, underwear or bloomers or whatever that shows up, like, I don't really make it sexy. Like, really, these cover a lot. Like, if we really want to sit here and dissect the shot. But, I mean, they cover her bum pretty well there.
Well, I even think, like, it seems, if we're looking at this as horror influence, that is kind of the horror trope, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. It really is. And, you know, the only thing we're missing was, you know, her telling somebody she'd be right back. You know?
That's actually a good point.
Yeah.
So, sort of, there is the one visual thing that I know you probably can't reveal too much about, and that's the the point of view shots. And Nick
right.
has mentioned in the past, and you have mentioned in the past, that whenever you see point of view and the shaky cam thing going on, like,
yeah.
you really have to pay attention to it. So right. I don't want you to sort of give anything away or get yourself in trouble, but could you talk a little bit about the point of view shot?
Yeah, I mean, that one was a... Well, for one thing, that was like an extremely popular page with my art dealer. people love splash pages, and then, too, people love Zoe. But yeah, like no, I think it's been covered before, you know, point of view shots are really, you know, something we use a lot. We don't use a whole lot, but we use for very specific scenes in this book. And it's kind of like, you know, one of those foibles of the book, like how Lost had those close-ups of eyes a lot. Like, I think somebody had, like, a counter of, like, how many close-up of eyes, you know, when the show opens. Like, they would do a close-up of eyes, somebody's eyes, and then, you know, it would pick up from there. And that was, like, you know, that was your signal that was something important. It's one of those things, like, you know, it's definitely open to interpretation. Like, there are people, that's one of those things I love seeing the reaction, because there are people that are just straight up convinced, you know, Zoe's a killer, and, you know, she murdered this poor cheerleader, and, you know, that it's all cut and dry, when, you know, who knows exactly what happened, who knows, because, I mean, as the cheerleader is taking her last breaths, her last panicked breaths, you know, exactly what she saw. You know, that's the thing you really need to ask yourself.
I am still of the school of thought that there's more than one person in Zoe's brain, but that's just me.
The important thing to think about with that particular sequence is the very next page, page 25, which is something that will be revisited. But, like, every shot in that page is pretty important for that sequence of, you know, of Amanda's murder. So, and it was very deliberately laid out like that. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, I think actually when we did this issue in Study Hall, Crit or I, one of us pointed that out, is that you don't
yeah.
see any faces or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So wrapping up this issue, is there any Easter eggs that we didn't hit?
Let me look. I don't think there is. Let me see. I'm looking through here. I wanted to put a lot more stuff in Ms. Darimount's little underground office, but I kind of wanted to keep it more simple and more menacing and stark. So basically just left, had her a bank of monitors, a desk, and, you know, a phone. Just, you know, like, sort of, I envisioned that. It's sort of like how Darth Vader had that little capsule on the Star Destroyer in Empire Strikes Back. This is sort of the same thing for Ms. Darimount, except she doesn't get a, you know, helmet put on her or anything.
She can have the bun on the back of her, or the yeah, tie that's of true. Her hair that, that, lowered
that,
back
that's
down.
Exactly what that is. Yeah. but yeah, no. One thing I should clear up, and I probably didn't. I probably should have really refined this a little bit more. Is, you know, I for the longest time people thought the goat was the school mascot, and it's a ram. It's not a goat. I mean, yeah, they look similar, but trust me. I mean, I looked it up on Google, and it's a ram. It's not not a goat.
It says rams on the page.
Yeah, exactly.
But I know. I messed that up once too.
Well, and it's an easy thing, you know, to get wrong. I mean, because really they do really look alike, especially with the horns. But yeah, that's definitely a ram.
You know, I didn't ask. I didn't ask Nick about this when I was grilling him for secrets, but is there a reason that the mascot is a ram in particular? I imagine that there is, because most of the things in this book are done on purpose. And I have theories, but...
Well, I don't think... Well, Nick never told me specifically why it was a ram, and I'm sure he does have a plan for it, but I think a ram is just very visually striking with the horns, you know, and I think that... you know, you see, like, all kinds of representations. Like, you know, you see that skull. It's a very iconic image. You know, you see it, I guess, on Dodge Rams, the cars, the logos, the trucks, whatever. You know, that's a pretty iconic image. And I think part of that is probably what, you know, came into consideration for that. Mm.